Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Getting It Done, and I am your host, Dr. Walter Dean. For the last 3 months, we have been playing and discussing jazz pianists. However, all of these have been mostly going back as far as the beginning of jazz. We have not given an indication about what women were capable of doing. Based on my research, women played the piano early in, and most played for family kind of situations, family pleasures like on Sundays or things like that. However, in the early 1900s, we began to see some women receive an acclaim for their abilities. And the first of these is the name of a woman her name was Lily Hardin, who was born in 1898 and passed on in 1971 at the age of 73. And she recorded a song that was pretty well known at the time in the 1930s called Bluer Than Blue. But most of us didn't know that she was a self-taught person. In other words, she learned how to play the piano on her own, never took a lesson. In 1924, of course, she married one of the most famous jazz trumpet players of all time, and that was Louis Armstrong. And let's listen to some other comments by some other people who actually had a big hand in talking about her ability. And here we go.
Lil Hardin was a child prodigy musician. She taught herself how to play piano when she was 5 years old. Eventually, she went to work in a music store where she demonstrated sheet music. One day, Jelly Roll Morton came in. He sat down at the piano and he started pounding out his New Orleans blues. Lil had never heard anything like it before. Lil said to herself, "That's how I want to play." Before you know it, she was playing with some of the top bands of the day, which she had to do in secret, by the way, because her mother was so completely opposed to her playing this evil music, which was known as jazz. Her mother heard about it because one of her friends came into a club one night and saw Will playing and told her mother about it. The mother dragged her out and said she could never do that again. Will was able to convince her mother that this was not evil. She said, "Okay, you can play these gigs, but I will come pick you up every night at 1 o'clock in the morning." So there she was, a 16-year-old girl, 17-year-old girl, playing with all these great jazz musicians, and her mother would come pick her up at the club every night. King Oliver's New Orleans Jazz Band was the number one jazz band of the day. On that band, Lil met her future husband, a man named Louis Armstrong. Louis was a brilliantly talented trumpet player, but he was a guy who had no confidence in himself. Lil said to Louis, "Look, we're going to leave King Oliver. We're going to go start our own band." And she started a band called the Hot Five. This band became very big, very fast. Columbia Records came to Lil and said they wanted her to do an album. They wanted 6 tunes. Louis couldn't do the recording session because he had signed a contract with another record company. Columbia wanted to cash in on his name. So they said to Lil, "You take credit for having written and arranged 3 of the songs and give Louis credit for having written and arranged 3 of the songs." Well, she was his wife. She loved him. She wanted to record. She wanted the record contract. So she agreed to do it. And when the album was released by Columbia, it said, "Louis Armstrong's Hot Five." Lil remained, for the rest of her career, a footnote in Louis Armstrong's history, because the history of her as a woman jazz musician was never written down anywhere. And after she and Louis divorced, she went on to have her own band, and all the other people knew how brilliant she was. But 40 years later, practically nobody's heard about her. here's the book that was finally written about Lil, called Just for a Thrill, which is the name of one of her great jazz tunes. And this story is so personal to me as a female artist, because one of the things that we're always having to do is find our way into what is basically a closed society. A lot of people would say it's a glass ceiling, it's a brick wall, whatever. I found myself like trying to find that little tiny hole in the wall where I could slip through. She did that because the wall that she faced was so monumental. Nobody wanted her where she was. And yet she had so much confidence in her own ability that she didn't look at that. She just went out there to find it, and nothing stopped her.
Yeah, that was a Judy Chankin on Lil Hardin. And what we're going to do now is see if we can pull up something that actually that she recorded in 1936 called Just for a Thrill.
Just for a thrill, you turn the sun down into rain. Just before a thrill, you gave my heart more than the pain. But to you, I will only a time of playing. Just the talk around of you. Just for a thrill. You know that you did me wrong. Just for a thrill. You made my life. But now you're free, and you're having your fun. But to me, you're still the only one. Just for a thrill, you made my heart again.
Armstrong, the wife of none other than the great Louis Armstrong, and the trumpet that was playing in the if you notice on the, you never heard her playing the piano, because all the other instruments sort of phased her out. But you did hear that was her singing, and of course the trumpets you heard was Louis playing. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue with listening to Lil Hardin Armstrong. And
I'm singing a blue song, but blue than blue. I lost a friend I thought was good and true. Without Saturday morning, and yesterday morning, by the feet of the blue. And I was all happy, but I ain't had a dream. Spent 24 hours of trying to think. Why did he leave me? Why did he leave me? Blue and blue. His life and dreams make you grieve. Lose all ambition, have lost and condition. My mind's in pain, my heart's a pain. I miss him so. Oh, yes, I know. No other love song will I ever sing. Blue in my heart will always ring. Why did he leave me? Why did he leave me?
Recorded the first time, it was recorded in 1927, and that's when they got to be a problem. That was Louis Armstrong again on the trumpet, and you could tell he was a young, solid, a real strong trumpet player at that particular time. And of course, his wife was on the piano. Well, once again, you can hardly hear his wife playing. And excuse me, I said it was 1938. That was 1937 when that particular recording. So you could tell the sound was a lot better than the sound came out later on and around that particular time. And now what I'm going to try to do is if I can find a song where you could actually hear her playing the piano. There was one that she recorded in 1927, and that's what I'm really looking for right now. But this is with a group that she helped form with her husband, Louis, and actually got Louis away from the particular person he was playing with, Joe Oliver. And let's see if we can find that particular one. Here it is.
Writing's not that easy, but Grammarly can help. This sentence is grammatically correct. I'm
Banjo in the background. She played right along with that particular banjo, but you really didn't hear her like I really wanted you to be able to hear her. But just let me give you some other information about this fantastic lady. In her recordings, basically, she was the leader of that particular band at that particular time. Before even Louis was very famous, although his backbone, she was his backbone. She actually dealt with a lot of the fears and things that he had as a problem. He was a very insecure person at that particular time. Now, remember, this lady played in an all-male band, and in some cases, she was the band leader, like I said before. And, of course, her husband, Louis Armstrong, was the head of that, of the section, but she ran that band. Now, let me talk to you about another lady that I came up with or I was able to research and find, and that was a woman by the name of Lovey Austin, who was born in 1887 and passed on in 1972 at the age of 85. Look what she was able to accomplish during a time when only men were actually recording most of the music at that time, black and white. And she was a band leader, session musician, composer, singer, arranger. And during the 1920s, however, she was involved mostly with cousins of jazz, blues. That's what I call it, the cousins of jazz, because blues is not jazz, but it's like a relative. And she and Lil were ranked as the best female jazz artists at that particular time in the late 20s. And to even suggest that these two ladies were the best means that there were others. And so what I'm going to see if I can pull up Miss Austin, who I think at that particular time, I think was a remarkable musician. Let's see if we can pull up something that she did and called Traveling Blues. I'm You can actually hear the piano in the background for those who are able to listen, what I find to be remarkable. To me, she was in the background, but she was playing, and nobody was taking a solo. It was just a straight particular song with people playing a Dixieland kind of beat, but she was able to keep up with just about everything that anybody was doing at that particular time in that group, which is remarkable when you consider that most of the musicians at that particular time sort of kept the women in the background, and so you didn't really hear too much of the women while they were performing. You got to understand that Lovie was active from the 1920s until 1972. And so, you know, she was involved with music when women were kept in the background, and later on, that was in the 1920s when this particular song that she wrote took place, and which is called "Traveling Blues," arranged it for all the musicians and so forth. And so what we're going to do is we're going to see if we can find another song that maybe would give us a better indication of what her capabilities were. That's if we could find it. And I'm looking hard, and if I'm unable to find anything else that she did quite a few songs. But the problem is that this computer, when I ask it to do certain things, sometimes it does it and sometimes it doesn't. Let's move on to the next performer that I have, so that because I want to make sure that we get in as many ladies as possible. What was so very interesting that most of the recordings by the men at that time have been re-recorded and have a modern sound, while the same treatment was not provided for women in the recordings that they recorded back in the 20s and the 30s. A woman's performer, so you have to listen to some old recordings with the old sound, and you don't get the clarity. And you hear the sound in the background that is sort of a whistling kind of sound, as opposed to the more modern sound that you would like to hear, like you hear on the men recording songs. We have another pianist by the name of Mary Lou Williams. She was born in 1910 and passed on in 1981. At the age of 71. And when you listen to her play, you can tell she was a student of the stride type of recording. Let's see if we can find her and pull her up so you can hear what a remarkable job this lady was capable of doing. That's if this computer will cooperate with you. Hear that beat, that means that somebody is messing with my computer by some little pop-ups that come up, and I'm constantly annoyed by them, but there's nothing I can do but work on getting them off my computer best I can. So you're entitled to listen to those crazy sounds as bad as they seem to be, and there's nothing else that I can do. It just pop up. Let's see. They'll stop and they'll let me go on. Okay, we got that out of the way. Let's see if we can pull up her. Yeah, here we go. Listen to this lady play, Mary Lou Williams. Might find extremely interesting. Mary Lou Williams was considered to be a child prodigy, and was so good that there was an exemption for her to be able to go to college, and she went to Juilliard School of Music in New York at Columbia University at age 9. Age 9, yes, you heard it right. She went to Juilliard on a special exemption and took lessons from one of the professors there who was supposed to be a great classical pianist. And this song that you heard her play was not with the band. It was all by herself. She was recorded and started recording in the late 1930s. And we're going to pull up something else that she did, and you'll get an idea how well she was able to progress I heard of her when I was really a little kid. And I just couldn't believe, because my cousin played piano, and she was trying to imitate her, and this was back in the late 1940s. Let's pull something up that she did in the 1950s. There was Mary Lou Williams. You can tell from her left hand to her right hand that she had a classical background. Outstanding lady, performed for a long period of time, actually performed all the way up until in the late 1970s, and she passed on in 81. But I heard of her, like I said before, and my cousin, who played piano, I tried to imitate her. And we're going to stay on her for the rest remaining of the time. And that song came from when she was playing in London. And this one is called the Zodiac Suite. Thank you. Yeah, Mary Lou. And it was called the Zodiac Suite, recorded in actually 1969. And as she got older, she got even better. We're going to play a succession of songs, and I won't be interrupting to open my mouth, because when you hear me again, I'll be telling you about what's going to happen next week. We're going to stay on Mary Lou because I find her to be an exciting pianist. Here's something she did called The Man I Love. Song we're going to hear is called It Ain't.
Boston Hospital, driving people free. It's the best way to stream television. YouTube TV, try it free. Thank you.
1976, it ain't necessarily so. You know, when I give this gentleman that she's going to play with next a lot of credit, he brought together two great jazz musicians back in the 1930s when black music was separate from white music. In fact, you couldn't, I know Mary Anderson even had problems back in the 1940s of performing for white audiences or even performing in such a way that would allow for her talents and skills to be noted. And in this particular case, I'm talking about the great Benny Goodman, a clarinetist, an outstanding human being, an outstanding musician beyond that. He made it possible for a lot of jazz musicians to be able to play with white people and black and white people being able to play together. And he did that with Lionel Hampton and Teddy Wilson. Not to say that he stopped, but he continued to do that. And in the case where Mary Lou was not receiving credit for what she was doing, and small, she made small amounts of money when men were making large amounts of money. And she played in small cocktail places and did not receive the kind of acclaim that she should have at that particular time. And so what he did as the next recording that we have of him actually promoting her to play with him. I'm talking about the great Benny Goodman and Mary Lou in 1978.
At this time, we'd like to play a tune written by the late Fats Waller. Of course, you all know the big hit show from Fats Waller. The show is called In This Garden.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
If you write
what
anything
you just heard
on your.
Was a really fantastic opportunity for Mary Lou, but she was near the end of her career. She passed on and at the age of 81. That was done in 1978, and she died in 1981. And it's too bad that people could not recognize her sooner. I'm quite sure the certain communities were aware of her abilities, but many did not know of her. I was lucky that I had an opportunity because of my family and me, and I'm being deeply involved with music even at that particular age. And in the 1949s and 1950s, I was just starting to get involved with music. So I had an opportunity to hear some of the greats, such as Mary Lou. We're going to conclude our show today with Mary Lou, and if we don't get a chance to finish out while she's playing, I'll be telling you that next week's show will be a continuation of this week. What we're going to do is play some additional ladies who had a big hand in jazz that many of you do not know of or have never heard of. One Hazel Scott, who we're going to spend some time with next week, who was married to Adam Clayton Powell, who was a senator from New York, as well as a minister of the largest Baptist church in New England. And so before we conclude, let's hear this great lady. And I think we have about 2 minutes time left for her to see if we can get her, if they would allow me to play it. One of the things you never know. This is Mary Lou right here. What's your story, morning glory? That was Mary Lou Williams and Willow Weep For Me. I have more time than I thought I had because I had not heard the lady in the background, the engineer, telling me he only have such and such amount of time left. But we're going to close out the show with Mary Lou playing with a great saxophone player called Stan Getz. And if we won't be able to hear all the way song all the way on through, but we'll be able to hear some of it. 1978 in concert, Mary Lou Williams.
Getting it done. Have a good day.